over the last several weeks, beginning with verse number 12 here in chapter 5, we've looked at several commands that God has given the church. In fact, there are some 18 what we call vital signs from verse number 12 all the way down to verse 22 that identify our true spiritual health. We've equated them to the vital signs that we have in our physical bodies, that upon going into the doctor's office, they will check our vitals to make sure that everything looks okay and looks well. And so it is in a spiritual perspective here in chapter 5. Just like our physical bodies have vital signs that identify our physical health, the spiritual body, the spiritual life has vital signs, so to speak, that identify the true condition of our spiritual well-being. And we've looked at 18 different one of those from verse 22 to verse 20, first 18 to verse 22. Now, when we come to verse 23, it's as if Paul answers any concerns on behalf of the people who might be worried at whether or not they could ever achieve such spiritual health. After all, beginning in verse 12, Paul says one of the vital signs of true spiritual health, good spiritual health, is a wholesome relationship between you and your pastor. Then you get down to verse number 14. He says another vital sign is that there is a faithful ministry between you and the other members of the church. Not only that, you get down to verse 16. He says if you have good spiritual health, you'll be always rejoicing, always praying, always thankful. You're not going to quench the spirit. You're not going to despise the word of God. And you're going to be discerning in all things. And so he gives a lot of things here. A lot of signs, vital signs that speak to the condition of our spiritual health. And so it's as if the people are a little concerned at whether or not they would be able to do all of these things. In fact, God goes beyond in verse 23, expressing desire alone for them to be this, to his involvement in our achieving this spiritual health. In fact, we call this divine involvement sanctification. In other words, God is not just willing that you become a spiritually healthy person. He not only desires that you be in good health, he is intricately involved in your spiritual health. And that is called sanctification. Look at it there in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now we're going to talk about sanctification for just a moment and how God does his work in our lives and leading us to the place that we can have a wholesome relationship with the pastor, where we can serve the members of the body, where we are rejoicing, thankful, prayerful, and all of these things that he has mentioned. And I'm going to give them to you in two statements that are, I think, important for our understanding. Statement number one is this: sanctification is me becoming who God has declared me to be. So what is sanctification? Sanctification is me becoming who God has declared me to be. So let's examine the word sanctify for just a moment. If God is sanctifying us, if it's God's will for believers to be sanctified, if we are to go through this process called sanctification, then what is it? It is me becoming who God has declared me to be. Consider the word sanctify for just a minute. It means in its Greek origin to set apart or to make holy for God's exclusive use. So when the scripture says in verse 23 that the God of peace will sanctify you, it means the God of heaven is going to set you apart. The God of heaven wants to make you holy. For what reason? Well, for his purposes. In fact, for his exclusive purposes. And so God sanctifying us then is God setting us apart in holiness for himself. Now, before we go any further with this, I think we need to make clear some major theological distinctions, primarily the difference between justification and sanctification. Sometimes we throw out a lot of terms like that, glorification, sanctification, justification. Pastor, I've heard these things. Maybe I've even written them down before in the sermon notes, but we need to make sure that we clearly understand their distinctions, especially when it involves this arena of sanctification. And I think in order to understand sanctification, we've got to understand first what justification is. So let's begin with justification. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 says this. Moreover, whom he, that is God, whom God did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Now, he's speaking of salvation here. That God, before the foundations of the world, he predestined, he knew in his mind whom those he would call to himself. And those whom he called to himself, he justified them. Now, justification is a legal declaration by God. It has to do with our position with God, our standing with him. In fact, Romans 3:24 says it like this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All right? So God legally makes a declaration about us through this means called justification. It's the moment when God legally declares me righteous before him. Now, that's very, very important because Romans teaches us that there is none righteous, no, not one. That when you came into the world, you did not come into the world a good person. You did not come into the world a godly person. You didn't come into the world a justified or righteous person. No, from the very first moment you took your very first breath, you have been under the wrath and condemnation of God. And we attribute that to our great, 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 and on down the line, grandparents, Adam and Eve, who were created perfectly and innocently before God. But because of their sin, now the whole world is inflicted with sin. And that's why the Bible says there is none righteous. None. No one is righteous. And that's a problem. Because Jesus said, only the righteous will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, there's a big problem here. If only the righteous are going to inherit the kingdom of God, but nobody's righteous, then what in the world are we going to do? Hey, the bad news is you can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about your unrighteousness. You can't do anything about my unrighteousness. We can't do anything toward each other about our unrighteousness. We're unrighteous. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We fail to meet his holy standard. But God, in his love and mercy, and in his grace, sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sins, and watch this, to make us righteous. And because of Jesus Christ, though we are still imperfect, and though yes, we fail, though yes, we sin, we are positionally righteous before God. Not because of our works, but because of the offering and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that process by which a man or woman moves from being unrighteous to righteous is called justification. Justification. It's the moment whereby God declares me righteous before him. And guess what? It's an instantaneous transaction. And some of you grew up in environments where maybe it was taught or preached to you, or maybe in some legalistic fashion, someone made you to feel like that maybe I'm not so justified today, but Lord willing, I'll be a little more justified tomorrow. And then in a few weeks, a little more justified. In a few months, in a few years, a little more justified, as if justification is some gradual process, as if salvation is something that is continuing to develop in our lives. And my friend, that couldn't be further from the truth. Because you don't gradually become justified. You are once justified, and you are instantaneously justified and fully justified and completely justified. Friend, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you can mark the day that you've placed faith in the gospel, you are justified. And listen to me, you will never be any more justified than what you are today. Never. Justification is instantaneous. It is a complete, full transaction by which God declares me righteous. It is God changing my status from condemned to not condemned. It's so very important. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, now therefore there is no condemnation to them who follow God. And this divine act of grace is complete. That is, you're not justified in stages. You're justified fully and completely when you put faith in the gospel. So who has God declared me to be? Well, if you're a believer in him, God has declared you to be righteous. God has declared you to be just. God has declared you to be holy. God has declared you to be his. So in order to get the first part of this opening statement, we have to understand the second part. Who has God declared me to be? He's declared me to be righteous. And that declaration is called justification. Justification. Now, this is where the role of sanctification comes in. Where justification is a legal declaration, sanctification is an experiential condition. All right, we go back to our point. Look at that opening statement again. Sanctification is me becoming who is God has declared me to be. All right, who has God declared me to be? He's declared to me to be righteous and holy. That's justification. Sanctification is God helping me to become that. It is a process by which he takes me through continuously to be who he designed me to be. Where justification is instantaneous, sanctification is continuous. That is, it is a process whereby God, day by day, molds us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So God legally declares me righteous. That's justification. And then he begins to transformationally make me righteous. That's sanctification. The matter of eternity is only a matter of legal standing. In other words, your eternity is not conditioned upon your sanctification. Your eternity is conditioned upon your justification. You being one with God, you going to heaven, you inheriting eternal life, has nothing to do with your sanctification. It has everything to do with your justification. It is legally me being righteous so that I may inherit the kingdom of God. But now that he has declared me righteous, he wants to make me righteous, to help me to become who he has declared me to be. So again, sanctification is me gradually becoming who God has legally through justification declared me to be. We need to understand that. Let me illustrate it to you like this. Justification is only the foundation of the transformational work that God wants to do in our lives. You see, when a person becomes justified, he then realizes that he is in great need of renovation. When God legally makes you his, you begin to learn some things about yourself that maybe you didn't see before. There's a lot of people from time to time who say, you Christians, you people who follow Jesus and give your lives to the church and read your Bibles, you're blind. You're blind followers. You don't even remember. And I would argue the point that those who are not following Jesus, those who have not given their lives to faith in Jesus, that they are the ones who are blind. Because it's not until God opens our eyes through justification that we begin to see ourselves for who we really are. Unrighteous, unholy, unjust, under the condemnation of God, deserving of eternal damnation, had it not been for the love and mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't see those things until you are justified. When God justifies you, your eyes begin to open up. You're thinking, well, wait a minute. Why would God love me? Look at me. Why would God want this? Look at this. Why would God want to redeem something so broken, save something so unholy, make righteous something so foolish? You see, justification opens our eyes to who we really are. And it's then we begin to realize, I need work. I need work. Because you know what happens? You get saved. You claim the promise of God's word. You have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe that your sins have been forgiven, that your name is written in heaven. And if Jesus were to come back, you'd go into his very presence. You believe that. But guess what? You wake up tomorrow and you still battle the same old temptations. And maybe the things that you've dabbled in the past still are catching up to you. Consequences are still there. Sin is still there. And you realize, I need some work. I need a cleaning up. I need a renovation. I think here is where many people get greatly confused. Because they believe they have to become righteous before they can ever be declared righteous. You follow me? Maybe that's you this morning. You believe you have to become righteous before you can ever, by God, be declared righteous. And so in your mind, you think, well, I'm here today, but I'm only here because somebody dragged me. I really don't feel comfortable. Maybe you've invited somebody to church before, and maybe they said something to you like this. Nah, if I went to church, the walls would cave in, you know. I need to get some things right in my life first. If I clean up a little bit, let me just... you know, make myself righteous, and then I'll feel like that I can come and belong and be a part of it. And I'm here to tell you, friend, that's not even possible. You can't become righteous before being declared righteous. It's not possible. You are first declared righteous by God, and then you are able to become righteous. That's sanctification. And sanctification is the evidence of justification, not the other way around. You're not sanctified in order to be justified. No, you are justified in order to be sanctified. God saves me so he can renovate me. God purchased me so he can clean me up. God made me his own so he can change my life. Justification happens first. Then we become who God wants us to be. Sanctification. And here's the illustration. When you buy a house, before you can ever move in and make those walls and the carpet and the decor a reflection of yourself, you gotta first legally own the home. And so you go through the whole process, right? You find the one you want, you make the offer's signed, then 30 days, 60 days later, whatever happens, you sit down with the attorney and the seller and the agents, and then you sign 100 pieces of documents, right? You know, I never signed more documents than I sign when I go buy a house. And about the fifth or sixth document in, you're not even reading it. Just sign it. You're just signing it. Now, Kathleen and I have found that period of waiting has been very hard sometimes. You know that that's yours and you want to move in and you want to make it your own. You want to go ahead and do this and do that, but you can't because you legally don't own it yet. But once those papers are signed, and the last thing they do is stick the keys in your hand, I don't know how your wife is. My wife is like, let's not even eat lunch. Let's go here and there and start knocking walls down. And so we get there, and we're moving in, and we're changing things up, and we're making it a reflection of ourselves. Why? Because the legal transaction allows me to do that. And so it is spiritually. You sign the papers, you officially declare it your own, that's justification. Now you move in and begin making it through renovation what you have legally declared it to be. That is sanctification. And so it is in our bodies. God purchased us with his own blood. He justified us. He legally declared us righteous. And the moment you give your life to Jesus, Jesus says, all right, now I can move in. And now I can tear down this wall and clean up this mind and change that heart. It's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight. But man, when I get done with it, it is going to be what I have declared it to be. That's sanctification. Let's take all of it and put it in the context of these verses. Because a healthy Christian is a holy Christian. A healthy Christian is a holy Christian. Holiness is reflected when we have a wholesome relationship with our pastor, verse 12, 13. Holiness is reflected when we faithfully and generally minister to one another, verses 14, 15. Holiness is reflected when we, in all things, rejoice, pray, and remain thankful, 16, 17, 18. And then 19 through 22, we're reminded that holiness is when we're yet of the Spirit, obedient to the Scriptures, and discerning in all things. And then comes verse 23, and he says, and I, God, will sanctify you. I'll help you to do this. Consider my transliteration, for lack of a better term. God is saying this in verse 23. And I, God, will day by day help you to become this healthy Christian who reflects my holiness. The very God of peace will sanctify you, renovate you, change you. He will help you to become who he has declared you to be. I say, when I was 5 years old, I turned 36 last weekend. I've been a Christian a long time. But those little Sunday school songs that I learned as a child still ring true this many years later. You know, like, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Friend, that's sanctification. That when I mess up and I see the spiritual side of me that needs work, I don't question my salvation. I'm justified. He has declared me righteous. If I drop dead today or Jesus were to come back, there is no doubt within my mind that I am one with him and that I will be one with him for all of eternity. But let me tell you something. I still have a lot of work to do. There are things that every day of my life that God is cleaning. You know how it is with renovation? You can go in and you can spend this money and time and effort painting a room together, you know. And I don't buy these commercials on television where the husband and wife are in a room and they're painting a room together and they're all lovey-dovey while they're doing it and they're kissing and all this kind of stuff. Listen, it is a complete war zone when my wife and I are renovating something in our house. We're not kissing, we're throwing paint cans at each other, all right? That's the bottom line truth right there. And something that always blows my mind is we'll go in here and we'll spend time and money and effort and the colors on the wall, and then a few years later, you know what, I'm thinking about repainting that room. Why? It looks perfectly okay to me. You have flashbacks to how it was when you were painting it together and everything that happened when you went through the process. You're doing everything in your power to hire somebody else to do it. And there's scuff marks. It's Keegan's room, and he's got 3 or 4 holes in the wall now. And it looked good then, but we've let it go. It needs some more cleaning. And so it is with our lives. It's like those pesky little weeds that come up every single summer, no matter how many pesticides you've put on it, and no matter how many times you've pulled it, no matter how much mulch you cover it up, no matter how many times you spray paint it to the color of the mulch, so just to pretend that it's not there. Every summer, they keep coming up. And so every year, we got to pull more weeds. In a few years, we got to paint the room again. And so it is with our lives spiritually. We are justified. We are justified. We are declared righteous. Do not worry about your standing with God if God has called you and redeemed you. But something that he's cleaned up a few years ago may need some cleaning again. The mind that he made pure 10 years ago may be dabbling in things that it need not be dabbling in. And it's time to renovate. It's time to clean. It's time to sanctify. Because he's always working on us. Let's get back to the main verse, verse 23. So God says, I will sanctify you wholly. I desire to make you entirely sanctified. And in case we weren't sure of all that he meant, he gave us an example. Spirit, soul, and body. That's the thing, everything about you, I want to sanctify it, God says. Everything about you, I want to clean it up. I want to renovate it. Your intellect, your emotions, your will, that is your decision making. Your personality, your physical body. The entire makeup of who you are, spirit, soul, body. I want to sanctify it, God says. I want to clean it up. Why? Look at the verse 23. So that you can be preserved blameless. The end result is this. So you'll be complete in him. Complete in him. What a sanctification. It's me becoming. It's me becoming who God has declared me to be. Here's the second thing, and there's only two. Write this one down. Sanctification begins and ends with God. Sanctification begins and ends with God. Notice what he says again in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you. This is important, for everything begins with God. Everything begins with God. Life begins with God. Salvation begins with God. Every open door begins with God. Everything begins with God, including our sanctification. In fact, our sanctification has been the plan of God since before the world ever existed. Sometimes we think salvation was plan B for God. You know, like when he created everything, he didn't know that someone's going to come into the world. No. He knew that. Salvation was never plan B. It was always plan A. You don't believe me? Listen to what the scripture says, Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before he ever said, let there be light, God said, I had already determined I was going to call you to myself. Jeremiah 1:5. God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you were even conceived, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, notice this, I sanctified thee. God is saying, before conception, I knew thee, I called thee, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, this is the plan of God since the beginning of time, that we be sanctified. And God sanctifying us, as Romans points out, is so that Jesus Christ will be mirrored in our lives, mirrored in our personalities. So God has planned this process of sanctification before the world ever existed, and now he is performing it in the lives of those who belong to him. Which is why he says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God, Christian, who works in you to will and to do. That means it is God that helps you to choose righteousness. It is God who's helping you to do what he is leading you to do. Sanctification is the work of God. In this mysterious way, he works in us so that we might yield to his purposes. And how does he clean us up? I mean, we look at the, and it's really a bad analogy. It's the best I could come up with. But we look at the house renovation and the walls. You know, we need soap and rags and brooms. And we have our instruments. Well, what are God's instruments for cleaning us up, renovating us? Well, his word. Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Not only his word, but his spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we'll get there in the coming weeks. It tells us that God sanctifies us by the spirit. Let me tell you something else he uses to sanctify us. Suffering. Suffering. 1 Peter. 1 verse 6 through 7 teaches us that it is the manifold temptations, the heaviness, the suffering that leads us to sanctification. Let me give you another one. He uses discipline. Yeah. Conviction, chastisement, consequences of sin. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us his discipline is to cleanse us. To sanctify us. So it begins with God, verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you. Then we come to the final verse, verse 24. It ends with God. Sanctification, that is. That God's work in your life, God's cleaning, God's renovation, it's all of God. God begins it, God's doing it. And look, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Follow the process. Look at the text. The process is sanctification. The person is God. The product is preserved blameless. The promise, verse 24, the promise is I will finish what I have set out to do. That's the promise. That God never does his work halfway. That the sanctification that he is doing in your mind, in your body, in your emotions, that which he is renovating, that which he is cleaning out. And by the way, any renovation process, it hurts. Doesn't feel good to have walls torn down. But whatever God is doing to make us more like him, God is not going to get halfway through the project and say, you know what, I chose the wrong one. There, this house, I might as well just give it away. I'm not going to make any money on this one. No, God never does that. He says, what I have begun in you, I will finish it. What a wonderful thought that God never abandons us. That he is fully capable of doing what he promises. That it is the character of his faithfulness, his perfect faithfulness that causes him to never give up on us. And some of you need to hear that today. So some of you need to be reminded that God is not going to give up on you. That no matter how many times you find yourself going back to the same emotions, back to the same sins, back to the same temptations, that God is going to be right there every day with his word and with his spirit and sometimes suffering. And yes, his discipline. He is not going to stop. He is still working on you. Why? Faithful is he who calleth you, and he will also get the job done. He will get the job done. He's not going to quit on you. He is fully and faithfully committed to the sanctification of your entire being. Yield to him. I'll just be honest with you. Such a struggle at times. To know that the areas that God is working in your life, you don't ever feel like are going to be fully cleansed. I mean, Paul talked about it in Hebrews, that all of us have that Achilles heel, was the illustration that he used. We all have that besetting sin. You know, that one thing that just seems like, you know, I don't have a problem with this, and I don't have a problem with that, but that right there, man, I just, and fill in the blank, it's different for all of us. And it's that, you know, it's like, God, I know you can clean up my mouth, I'm not worried about that. But this over here, God, my thoughts and my emotions, it just seems like I'm never going to have the victory. And that's where God comes into your life this very morning and says to you who believe, I ain't giving up. Yield to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. Watch what I'm doing. Faithful am I who have called you. I will also do this work in your life. That's sanctification. And though you can only be justified once, sanctification is something that every believer is continually in need of every day of our lives. That's the goal. Why does God want to sanctify me? So that I will grow in holiness. So I'll become more and more like Jesus. And that's our prayer. Lord, make us like you. And perhaps as we come to pray this morning, the first step that you need to take is the step of justification. You think cleaning up your life is going to make you acceptable to God. No. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. In other words, look at me. Don't pack up on me yet. Look at me. Jesus said, I didn't come to call you who think you don't need it. I didn't come to call those who think they can clean their own act up. No. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. I came after people who know their lives are a wreck, who realize where they are at with God. Listen, if you think sanctification is going to get you justified, friend, I beg you, follow the word of God. It is not of works. It is by the grace of God that we are justified. It is by the grace of God that we are sanctified. No. The first step is justification. Let God declare you who he died to make you. Righteous before God. And those of us who are justified, may we renew our yieldedness to God. And maybe you come in this morning having had a bad week in this area, and God just need to remind you, hey, keep listening, keep yielding. We're going to get this. We're going to do it. Faithful am I. Faithful am I. Perhaps you're struggling in the areas that God wants to clean up. No. Oh, there's so many application here. But as long as we realize that God wants to help me become what he declared me to be and that it ends and begins with him, then we are on the right track, so to speak, of God making us a mirror of his son, Jesus Christ. May God help us. Let's stand together for prayer.